I get in trouble sometimes because people say, "Don't you remember?" I'm sorry. I wish I could. Hallelujah. If it was more than a week ago, forget it for me, you know. But yeah. But I found something to be very true in my life, that the Holy Spirit is faithful to bring to my remembrance what I need when I need it. Amen. So in my weakness, His strength comes through, you know. And in my inability is His ability. And that's the cool thing, is God allows us to partner with Him, to be a part of what He's doing, to be a vessel for Him. And with all of our idiosyncrasies, our little quirks and our weaknesses, God uses us, you know. And that's an awesome thing. And I'm just thankful and just grateful to be the servant of the Lord, you know, and to get to do what I do. And, you know, I had never thought I would ever be a pastor or doing what I'm doing. I just wanted to party and go out with a bang, you know. And I was close to that when God intervened and turned everything around. You know, I've been forgiven much and I love the Lord a lot. You know, and I just said, I'm going to give my life back to You and I'm going to love You back the rest of my life. And that's what the Lord wants from all of us, is to give our lives to Him, give ourselves back to Him now. And to live the rest of our lives for Him. God's looking for vessels. You know, the Lord said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. And that means He's calling you today to partner with Him. You know, one of the things that I find very difficult to do, you can ask Asuk about this, is to wait on things. And sometimes I can be a little bit impulsive. I'm getting better at that. Or reactive. You know, the Lord wants us to study to respond or to answer, to think through the decisions that we make. I don't know about you, but I've made a few hasty decisions that I regretted. But the title of the message today is Being Patient in the Process. We're event people and we like to do events, and there's a beginning and an end to that and an expected time frame for that. But God's ways are not our ways. And God is taking us through a process of purification, of sanctification, of making us holy, making us ready, and equipping us for every good work. And guys, if you're waiting for the day when you're perfect to start serving the Lord, you'll never get there. Amen? God takes care of that. That's what the blood of Jesus does for us. Amen? In our imperfections and in our mistakes, we have an advocate with the Father. Praise God. Amen. We don't willfully sin, but when we do, we can come to God and ask for His mercy. Amen. His forgiveness. And God is faithful and just to forgive us, as you know. And He wants to forgive. Do you know God wants to forgive people? If they'll repent, He'll do it. If we'll turn to Him, we'll receive mercy. He said, those who come to Me, I will in no wise cast out. That's the kind of God that we serve. In James chapter 5, verse 7, it says, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. Now, the farmer does not reap on the same day that he plants. Rather, there is a period of waiting. So first there must come the early rain, and what the early rain will do is cause the seed to germinate. And then at the end of the season would be the latter rain, and that would be needed to bring the crop to fruition. So God has a timing for everything, a season, a time and a season, amen, for everything in our lives. And what we need to do is get into the place with Him where we are walking in harmony with Him and in step with Him, and we're moving according to His time and not our own. And you can't walk together with somebody except you be agreed with them, amen, and that you are familiar with them and you are in step. When we were in the army, we would have to keep in step together, you know, when we marched. And so the Lord is giving us our marching orders, but we need to connect with Him and walk out with Him, amen, the will of God, the purpose of God for our lives. It's not going to happen automatically. Some people are waiting for this great angel to appear out of nowhere and give them this great, picture of what they're supposed to do. No, God has already told us what He wants us to do. He said, go and make disciples of all nations. Amen. He's given us a commission, not a suggestion, but a commission. And that means that He has authorized us to go in His name with the power and the authority that He has given to us, delegated to His church, His body, to be His representatives. So often we're looking for the quick fix, aren't we? My life has been a lot like that. I just want it now. I want it quick. I want it, and we don't like to wait for anything. And, that's what drugs do for people, is it's offering them a quick fix. But it's not a fix at all. It's only compounding the problem. You may think that you're getting a fix. Oh, I'm getting fixed. But you're not. You're actually making it worse with each fix. It just gets worse until you're completely destroyed. And you have a false sense that things are well until eventually you have to come down and face reality. You can't. As one said, you can't go back up into your mother's womb. Amen. You can't go back in the egg. Once you're hatched, you're hatched. I think that was E.V. Hill. He said, once you hatch, you hatched. You're out of the egg now, and you can't go back. But the good news is that we have God with us. God for us. And He's going to give us the grace that we need to accomplish our mission, our purpose in life. How many here want to know God's purpose for your life? How many, only half of you wanted to know that. And how many of you know what God's purpose is for you in your life? Okay. Some are half mass, some full. Well, we're discovering, aren't we? If you seek, you will find. Amen. So, our own initiative, I want to talk about that, may get quick results, but does not allow for the working of God in our lives. Our initiative may get quick results, but does not allow for the working of God in our lives. Again, it's about being in harmony, being in step, being in time with the Lord. When we make music, we have to be in time together. Amen. When we sing, we have to know our part, so that we can complement each other, right, and make the song more beautiful. There are harmonies, different types of harmonies, different roles that people have, amen, in a team and in a group. But it's about discovering who I am and where I fit in that and doing my part, but knowing this, that the will of God will always bring us together in harmony and into peace. If I'm outside of the will of God or trying to do something beyond what God has called me to do or getting ahead of God, it can actually cause more problems. I've been one of those people that wants to get out there and do things and do it now. And sometimes you need to move quickly. Would you agree? There's a time when you need to be right on spot. Amen. Other times where you have to wait on the Lord for things. And the difficulty is waiting on God in the process, and waiting on His timing for things. Now, some people are ever waiting on God, and they're never coming to a place where they're doing anything because they're just, well, one of these days God will show me. Have you really been seeking the Lord? Well, no. But if you seek, you will find. So James uses this illustration of a farmer to teach us the lesson of patience, endurance in the will of God. Our good works can be dead works if God's not in them. Isn't that true? So the work of God in our lives is a process, and it's a matter of being in step with the Spirit, living each day faithfully, amen, committing yourself daily steps of obedience. As you know, the Lord is prompting you, as He's pressing you to do something. Maybe to pray for somebody, to call somebody, to speak to somebody, to share your story with somebody. God will prompt you. When we do music, God prompts me, and gives me something that I hadn't put on the program. Amen? Because I don't know about you, but I don't like programs anyways. All right? Now, it's okay to have an order to a service, but you don't want to have it so ordered that God doesn't have any part of that, okay? God is saying, when am I going to be able to be involved in this, you know? You can do church, you can play church without God, you know. People have learned how to do that. And there's no good fruit out of that, but, you know, people may be entertained. They may be, they might have had a great pep rally, but was the Lord present? Was the Lord working? Was the Lord moving? Was the Lord changing hearts and lives? Amen. That's really the acid test, if you will. But whenever we get in a hurry, you know, we step outside of God's timing and then we get into trouble. And I can tell you from experience, I've done it many times, but you know, also part of our growth is to step out and to take chances, if you will, to take a risk, what we may consider a risk, or when we feel maybe God is pressing us to do something. I would rather have somebody that's willing to step out, all right, and take a risk than somebody that's always playing it safe and they never get anything done or accomplished because they're always waiting for, well, how many confirmations do you need, by the way, right? It's like God saying, hello! Well, one of these days, how long have you been saying that, Joe? Now 50 years. But one of these days, how many know we're in a race? We have to run this thing to win, amen? To get the prize, hallelujah. Remember Abraham and Hagar? The handmaiden of Abraham? God promised Abraham a son, right? But Abraham got impatient in the process. And he tried to make happen in his flesh what God promised to accomplish supernaturally by His Spirit. Think about that. Abraham tried to accomplish in his flesh what God wanted to accomplish supernaturally by His Spirit. Because the work that we're called to requires an agreement, a partnership with the Holy Spirit in order to bear the kind of fruit that God receives. Amen? That God accepts. God accepts His will. So our will needs to be submitted to the will of God, and we need to begin to practice the Word. We need to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. So we start out with just elementary things, things that, you know, we're going to step out here for God. God told me to do this. I really sense God is in this. And I'm going to get out there and I'm just going to maybe open my mouth for Jesus, all right? And say, Lord, you said, you know, in that day, in that hour, I wouldn't have to ask you, or I wouldn't have to, you know, be concerned about what I'm going to say, but you'll give me what I need in that hour. Amen. The Holy Spirit will give me what I need to say. And so, guys, if you have the Holy Spirit, you can travel. Amen. You can go places. You can do things for God. Amen. Because it's going to be God working through you by His Spirit. Hallelujah. You don't have to be a theologian to serve the Lord. Amen. Fruitfulness in the Christian life is a result of God's Spirit working in and through us. It's the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of Him. Genesis 17 and 1. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. So here's a reminder to Abraham, that God had given him about his promise. In verse 15, it says, God said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And he said, I will bless her. How many know we need God to bless us? I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of peoples shall be from her. Verse 17, then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, now listen to this, in verse 18, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm just can't imagine God speaking to you and you're saying, oh, God, you don't know what you're talking about. That's not possible. I'm going to have a son. How about Ishmael over here? Well, Ishmael was his doing. That was Abraham's doing. That was because he was operating in the flesh. Amen. And hoping God would accept it or God would approve it or God would receive that. And God is saying, no, I receive my will. My will is already blessed. Find out what I'm doing, join me in that, and I'll already be blessed. So again, Ishmael was Abraham's attempt to fulfill God's promise. So Abraham got impatient in the process of waiting on the Lord and tried to make the promise happen in his own strength. And sometimes we do the same thing. I've been impatient. And sometimes, how many beside myself, just a show of hands here, have made mistakes when you got impatient? All right. All right. The rest of you will pray for you, all right? Yeah. But God has already determined a time and a place to meet us. You know, it's God's time. It's God's place. It's God's plan. We just need to find out what that is and go with it. Amen? How about an encounter with God? Have many had an encounter with God this morning already? Are we not encountering the Lord right now as we gather? Hallelujah. And how about an encounter at home? Yeah, you have an encounter. I got saved in my bedroom. Born again. Hallelujah. Imagine that. Our encounter might be in a cave, like Elijah. It could be in a prison cell or in a ship tossed on the water like Paul. How many know that wasn't his choice of a meeting place, all right? I don't think Elijah had anticipated an encounter with God in the cave. He was just scared. He was running from old Jezebel, remember? How about the threshing floor where Gideon encountered God? And the angel of the Lord appeared to him. And what he said, this guy that's fearful and hiding out, oh, mighty man of valor. He had to get his identity from God. Amen. It could even be like Moses at a burning bush. Who would have thought a bush would burn or be on fire and not actually be consumed? But God's timing is perfect. And how many know that timing matters to a farmer? If you've ever, I know some of you grow crops and you understand that there's a seed season, there's a watering season, and there's a harvest season. And you don't harvest during the time of seed. It just doesn't work. So we need to know what season we're in, where God has us in our life right now, what God is calling us to do, and what part of that we're supposed to be engaged in. And I do believe that walking in the Spirit is a life of productivity in the Spirit. I'm going to say it again. Walking in the Spirit is a life of productivity. We will bear fruit if we're walking in the Spirit. There will be a manifestation of God's presence through us, His Spirit through us. God wants to work through vessels like you and I. He allows us to do this. So you cannot make God's will happen. Again, our own initiative may get quick results, but it doesn't allow for the working of God in our lives. So if you want the supernatural to happen in and through your life, you have to be in step with the Spirit. You have to be in line with God and in His season. Sometimes we've jumped out and said, oh, let's go do this thing, and God wasn't in it. Other times we've heard God speaking very clearly. He's been prompting us, and we've stepped into the season where He was moving in a situation, and there was a manifestation of His power, of His presence, of healing, of miracles, whatever it was, because we were willing to obey the voice of God and to step out of the boat of comfort and predictability to get out on there with the water where Jesus is at. Amen. Sometimes Jesus is in the boat. If He's in the boat, stay in the boat. But if He's not, I want to be where He's at. Hallelujah. So, we cannot make God's will happen. That was Abraham's mistake. We simply walk daily with the Lord, and we learn to obey His voice as He speaks to us. We don't want to react impulsively in our situation, but we need to wait on the Lord for His instruction. In other words, you need to think it through before you act. You ever heard that? Pray through, think through, amen, before you act. It's a discipline because there's another part of us that has an unction, has a desire, okay, to do for God. Amen. Because we love the Lord and we want to please the Lord and we don't want to miss the Lord. Amen. But we need to learn how to walk with the Lord so that we're not causing damage, but we're producing good fruit. If we get out of the time of God with things, well, most of the time it's just going to be flat. It's going to be fruitless. I've spent a lot of energy on things that I thought were good ideas, but were not God's ideas. Are you with me? And part of me finding out and discovering, and not that I've discovered it all, but I'm in the process of discovering that I had to take some steps. Okay, I had to step out. I had to be willing, all right, to be obedient. God sees an obedient heart. And he can work with somebody, amen, who maybe, as I've heard it said years ago from one brother, he said, I'd rather have ignorance on fire than knowledge on ice. Because an ignorant person, you can teach, right? I mean, God's still trying to teach this one, you know. But you think about it. And you got some people that they've got lots of knowledge, but they're on ice. Come on. There's no activation. There's no moving, amen, with the Spirit in that. So the Word and the Spirit always cooperate. They work together. It's not enough about just getting more information. It's learning how to flesh it out, how to live it out, how to walk it out, how to do this stuff, amen? So we're to practice the faith. Remember Saul in 1 Samuel 15? What was he doing? He was constantly doing what seemed best to him rather than what was God's best. Instead of doing what God said to do, Saul would do what he thought was a good idea for God. It's like saying, God, I want to do this for you and I'm asking you to bless it. How many know God blesses his will? So I need to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And like a few weeks ago I shared with you, I don't want to be like the son who says, Father, please show me what your will is. I really want to know what pleases you. And the father says, now, son, go take the garbage out. Let's start with that. Well, thanks, Dad. Thanks for filling me in on that. And he goes away and does nothing because that's not what he expected. It's not what he wanted to do for his father, to please his father. Are you hearing me, somebody? Because sometimes God's going to call you to do something, and most of the time that's outside of your comfort zone, where you have to die to yourself and get over what people may think about you and be more concerned about what God thinks. You need to fear God more than you do fear man, than you fear men. Yes. We need to be alert. We need to be ready to respond to the promptings of the Lord. We need to be ready to respond to the promptings of the Lord. Because, guys, if we don't listen and if we don't move when God is telling us to, we'll miss out on the opportunity that God gave us. Have you ever done that before? You were in a service and you knew God was giving you a word, and you know people have stood up and they've given a tongue or an interpretation or they give a prophetic utterance, and you had this thing really boiling in your heart, but you just kept mulling it over in your heart and saying, oh, I don't know if that God is God. Are you really in this? I don't know. And you, until all of a sudden somebody else stands up and says the same word that you were supposed to give. Come on, somebody. We need to start to learn how to listen and to obey, amen, so that we get to be a part of that. God's looking for somebody that will just be willing to say yes and get over the opinions of men. If you make a mistake here, by the way, we're not going to chop you off at the knees, okay? We're not going to have you escorted out of here. Maybe in the back room to cast the devil out of you, but other than that, you know, we want people to be able to express their heart and to be able to exercise the gifts that God has given them. Amen. We have a certain window of opportunity and a certain time. You can't do it all here. I get that. A lot of times things can happen at home in a small group setting where you can get together. Amen. You can share and interact and pray and for one another. But don't ever hesitate to step out for Jesus when you feel that he's prompting you. Okay. And a good way to approach this is to say, you know, I feel like maybe the Lord is saying this, but I submit it for evaluation, all right? In other words, whenever we speak a prophetic word, it's supposed to be judged anyways, right? evaluated as to whether or not this is in agreement with what God is already confirming in others of mature character, right? So it needs to be one word, right? Two words. How many? Three at the most, is it? In a setting, right? Because of the time, I think. But God also is a God of order. But we need to understand something. If you don't start to practice, okay, then you can actually become stagnant. Because the Bible is very clear that we are not to shut off the flow of the Spirit. We're not to quench the Spirit. Amen? So we need to learn to be in time with God, in step with God, and ready to respond to His promptings when He's telling us to. And to know the difference comes with maturity. But it's okay. You have a safe place here, okay? If you feel that God has given you a word, let me know. Sometimes it's even better to come up and say ahead of time. If you had something ahead of time, say, Pastor, I feel like the Lord wants me to say something. Let me know. You know, we'll have you write it out. We'll have it evaluated. We'll have the board vote on it. And no. But we can handle it, okay? And God can handle it, all right? So let's just be responsive to the voice of God. Not to be careless. Be mindful. Be sensitive. Pray. Say, Lord, give me what I need to say. You know? When I pray, often I just say, Lord, give me what I need to say today. You know? Give me the words to speak. Give me the songs to sing. And, you know, the Lord is faithful. He comes through. But whenever we get impatient, again, we make decisions sometimes that are not good. And sometimes they have lasting impact in our lives. You know what I'm talking about? Even sometimes a hasty word, you can't take it back. It's out there. Proverbs 29:25, very familiar. But don't allow the fear of man to control you. Because sometimes people will not obey God because of peer pressure or because of fear of man. Now hear this. The fear of man brings a snare. It's a trap. Whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. A guy named William Gurnall said this, we fear man so much because we fear God so little. You know, the fear of man results in yielding to human pressure to commit evil or even to refrain from doing what is right. Isn't that true? Peer pressure, human pressure can get us to do things that are evil. If we allow it, if we fall prey to it, if we submit to it, or even can cause us to refrain from doing what is right. The enemy works that way, doesn't he? He's trying to intimidate people to comply with what he wants. He doesn't like anybody to resist him, you know. But the Bible is very clear, if you resist him, he will flee from you. The devil needs to know that you're not somebody to toy with. That you know who you are in Christ and who he is in you and who Christ is in you. Amen. And you have authority over him. And he knows that, if you know that. Come on, somebody. And he's going to give up on somebody. He knows he doesn't have an audience. But if he has an audience, he's going to keep heaping it on. He's going to keep reminding you of all your failures and all the things you've done and all the times you said, oh, this is the last time I'll ever do that. And then you did it again. And he just comes up and he keeps beating you down. Well, he's going to keep beating you down until you say, that's enough. I'm not putting up with it anymore. I'm not listening to the voice of the liar. Amen. But to the voice of truth. God is with me. God is for me. God is not against me. God has forgiven me. Amen. Hallelujah. If God be for us. We need God's grace. It's not of us. We don't have the willpower to do what God's called us to do. We need the fruit of patience, the fruit of the Spirit. We need God's power. Psalms 27:13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Guys, I'm expecting good things to come. Amen. There's so much negativity there. You got to be careful you don't get into that funk, all right? Don't get into that frequency, if you will. Get on God's station. God's not stressed out or worried or fearful. Bury yourself in His heart. Amen. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. He'll be your peace. He'll be the one that'll keep you from going insane. Wait on the Lord, it says in verse 14. Wait on the Lord. This is the key. And then be of good courage. Take a stand. All right? Don't accept anything. Don't accept a lie. Believe God for your miracle. Believe God for your breakthrough. And God will strengthen your heart. In the process of you waiting, you will be strengthened in your spirit, in your character. David knew perfectly well what it was to have all hell break loose in his life. Man, he had all kinds of people against him, oppositions, rejections, misunderstandings. He had insurrections. He had threats on his life. David knew enough to cry out to God. And in his distress, he would wait patiently for Him to intervene. He kept his faith in the Lord, amen, and not in his situation. He found refuge in God because he trusted Him. So we need to wait on God in the time of our weakness. Everybody here has weaknesses. Did you know that? Everybody here has certain places we might be blind and not be able to see clearly. We have to have a humble attitude about ourselves and a willingness to learn and to grow and to be teachable. God can work with humility, amen, but He will resist the proud. But our source of strength is always in the Lord Himself, the person of the Lord, amen, the Jesus that we serve, the lover of our soul. He's with those who call on Him in truth. I think if God created the universe, He can certainly supply ample strength to us in our weakness. Isaiah 40:29, He gives what? Power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. You know what? In other words, God's going to give His grace to the ones who are humble enough to say, I'm not strong enough. I'm not wise enough. I can't without Him. God says, God, there's a vessel I can use. Because then even through your flesh, people will say, you know, there's something greater going on here. And isn't that what they said about Jesus? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Listen to the things that he's saying. How could he know these things? Well, there's much more to that, wasn't there? But they didn't. All they knew was that looking from a natural perspective, they just thought, well, he's the carpenter's son. And listen to the things that he's saying and even the things that he was doing. Wow. You see, God wants us to be like Jesus when we grow up, to be like our Lord. Amen. We're going to partner with Him. We're going to yoke together with Him. And even though He's going to have to be doing a lot more of the pulling, amen, He wants us to come up to Him and learn how to walk together in harmony, in time with Him, in step with the Lord. Hallelujah. And together we will bear fruit. Hallelujah. Amen. Because God is the one that will provide the grace for us to do so. Listen to Paul's prayer for the saints in Ephesians 3:16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to what? One of my favorites, be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. I pray this over you guys every day. I don't know if you knew that. Pray, Lord, I pray that You'd strengthen them with might in the inner man by Your Spirit. Amen? That their faith would not fail. We need the grace of God. God's strength is that supernatural inner strength of the heart. We have willpower and soul power. How many know willpower and soul power alone is not going to do it? You need to submit that to God and partner with God and use who you are, amen, but place it under the authority of God. That way His grace will come through. His power will come through. Never give up. In Luke 18, Jesus said this. One day He told His disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. What are we talking about? We're talking about waiting on the Lord, being patient in the process. Verse 2, there was a judge in a certain city. He said, who neither feared God nor cared about people. A widow of that city came to him repetitively, saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. And the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people. But this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, guys, you need to be like that in prayer, okay? Then the Lord said, learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Question. I tell you, he will grant justice them quickly. Now, what did he say right after that? Interesting. But when, he said, the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on the earth who have faith? Or in one version says, will I find faith on the earth? Will I find faith on the earth? What is he saying? That because of the pressures, because of the demonic onslaught and the opposition of our enemy, and the enemy is constantly attacking really your faith, he wants to rob you of your confidence in God. And he wants to get you to focus on your situation, on your circumstances, on your surroundings, on what appears to be, okay, in the natural, an impossible thing. But to God, nothing is impossible. You know, the enemy's trying to dupe us right now just to give up on America and give up on our future. Oh, it's just so bad. And some people are already just kicking it down the road and saying, oh, well, it's too late, too late. No, I'm not giving up. Amen. Because I know God is able to intervene. God is able to turn things around. Amen. It may not be a quick fix, but God is faithful. Amen. And if we continually be like this widow woman, amen, that came to the judge and kept on calling out to him and saying, avenge me of my adversary. I say, Lord, give us justice against our adversaries. Amen. There are adversaries in the invisible realm around us. Amen. That influence people. Amen. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but we need to be praying. Amen. That God will dispatch his hosts. Amen. His angelic hosts. Hallelujah. Amen. To invade these areas in Washington and throughout the nation, in the House, in the Congress. Amen. In the Senate. And that God's going to invade the local. Amen. Jurisdictions as well. Hallelujah. I'm praying for our governor. Amen. That God will shake him to his core and bring him to a place of repentance, that the man gets saved. Wouldn't that be awesome? He and his family got saved and they started loving and serving Jesus. God can do it. And God's not willing that anyone should perish. Hallelujah. We need to be patiently waiting on the Lord when there appears to be no solution. You've been there? I've been there. When is my help going to come? When is the rescue going to come? When are things going to turn for me? God, I've been praying. I've been crying out. I've been waiting. And God, are you even going to do anything? Some people have been contending for a physical miracle that they need in their bodies. Don't give up. You can attest to that, can't you? For many years, you struggled in God's timing, but you didn't give up. And you kept saying, I'm going to go pray, get prayed for one more time. And that was the time when God said, okay, today is the day of your breakthrough, your miracle. Receive it. God wants us to be faithful, amen, and consistent, persistent even in our prayer life, believing that things are going to change. Things are changing. Things are turning. I see it. Keep it up. Keep up the good work. Get on your knees like Petra said years ago and fight like a man. You know, Job said in Job 30 and verse 26, when I looked for good, evil came to me. And when I waited for light, then came darkness. Wow. Yeah. I think we can all say, I've been there, done that. And sometimes, guys, let me give you a word of encouragement. It might get worse before it gets better. But God always comes through for his people. He came through for Job, didn't he? Remember, it was Gethsemane and the cross that preceded the resurrection and the exaltation of our Lord. Amen. Wait patiently for the Lord, because it's always darkest just before the dawn. There's a song that was out a few years ago, don't give up on the brink of a miracle. Amen. You might be on the brink of your miracle. Keep contending, keep believing, keep pressing in. God has got, amen, the ability to do anything. Anything. And that's the kind of faith we need, is like, God, you can do anything, and I'm going to believe you for the impossible. You need to wait on the Lord for your ministry. You need to wait on the Lord for the fruit of your ministry. Keep on serving, keep on giving, keep on loving, keep on sharing, keep on doing what God has called you to do, but be patient. It may take a period of time of sowing, amen, and watering, sowing and watering, and you're looking at it and says, I ain't seeing nothing yet. And the enemy comes along and says, you're just wasting your time. Because he's come there to get your faith, you see, to discourage you. But God's saying, you hang in there. There's a season for everything in your life. There's a time to sow, a time to water, and then comes the harvest. Amen? And what you have sown in obedience to me, in the season that I have appointed, it will come back to you. Because your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In Hebrews 6 and verse 10, for God is not unjust to forget your work, what? And labor of love which you have shown towards His name. And that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. And that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And so what is he doing? He's warning us against becoming spiritually dull or lazy. Hello. Stir up the gift of God that's within you. Rise and shine, all right? There's a Samson within each one of us, amen? You got to shake yourself like he did. Say, I'm going to shake that complacency off. I'm going to get on my ugly praise. I'm going to press into God, amen? I'm going to start crying out, hallelujah, and shout in the name of Jesus. And the devil hates that. Because he's the oppressor. He's the one that's been pressing you down. He's the one that's been lying to you and saying, you don't have anything to give, nothing to offer. But little as much if God is in. And if you're in with God, God will use you mightily. Right where you're at, right where you're planted, you're supposed to be blooming. Did you know that? Ephesians 5:18, we're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Did you know that as a command? So before we leave today, all right, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, we're going to have a prayer meeting. So you can obey the command of the Lord to be filled with the Holy Spirit, all right? Do not be drunk with wine. Why do people get drunk with wine? Why do they get drunk on the things? Why do they get high? They want to feel good, yeah? Because sometimes it gives people a false sense of confidence when they're a little inebriated. All of a sudden, the shy one becomes the social butterfly. But when we're filled with the Spirit of God, we don't need that. We don't need that inferior stuff. We've got something better. We've got the confidence that comes from the Lord. Amen? The strength of my life is Jesus Christ. And He will give me supernatural boldness. He will give me the ability to speak to a crowd. Amen? Because in myself, I don't have that. Some people have no problem getting up in front of people. I always struggled with that when I was growing up. Oh, please don't call my name in school. But now the Lord, because of His grace, I can do the opposite of what it was. I can be, amen, everything He wants me to be. Because I'm not relying upon my human wisdom or ability. I hope you understand today that I'm speaking to you by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking today. He wants you to be relaxed and be yourself. All right? He created you the way you are with your quirks, with your personality and all that. But you need to partner with the Lord. Amen? And be the person He's called you to be because God wants to work through you. He wants to work through every one of us. If Galatians 5:25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The New Living Translation says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. And remember this, what does waiting do? Waiting does several things. Number one, it exercises our faith. Abraham had to believe God. He had to be consistent, amen, in his faith to believe for the promise of God. It humbles us. Why did God bring Israel into the wilderness? To humble them, amen? So that the things that they once relied on, they were not going to rely on anymore. They had to rely on God now. Enhances the blessing. And it glorifies God. When you've waited on something, it's always more appreciated when you've had to wait for it. I use that illustration of waiting for Christmas morning. You know? Anymore, I'm like, is it over yet? No. But when you're a kid, you're like, oh, I can't wait. How many days to Christmas? 364? The next day, you're already planning, right? But you wait for something, and if you knew something good was on its way, you know, and you've had to wait for it, how about relationships? How about sex before marriage, right? Something worth waiting for. Fortunately, the message so many of our kids are getting today is, oh no, just live for today and you don't need to wait for anything. And the devil's just, he knows how to ruin people. Praise God, there's forgiveness, there's mercy, amen, there's grace at the cross. But there's certain things that you can't go back and reverse. Boy, if we would just listen to God, amen. You know, I said this before, and I repeated it from somebody that said this, but I thought, why don't we just, in America, live the Word of God for 6 months as a nation? Let's try an experiment to live according to the Word of God for 6 months. What do you think would happen? Wow. But, oh, no, we've got a better idea. You know, what did the early church do? They didn't just go out and do a bunch of stuff spontaneously. Really, God is not spontaneous. God is very deliberate. God is a God of order and a God of timing. And we need to learn how to walk in the time of God. And so they would wait on the Lord. Look at this, Acts 13:1. Now the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, I think I said that right, and Saul. And verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, as they did what? As they ministered to the Lord and fasted. How many? It wasn't just a church service. Could you agree with that? They fasted. Well, we fasted from, 10:30 to, no. They had ministered to the Lord. They were waiting on God. They had fasted. And then the Lord spoke to them, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Verse 3, and then, listen, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. They didn't impulsively or spontaneously just do this. They were being directed by the Holy Spirit because they understood that without the direction and the leading of the Holy Spirit, they would have no fruit. The same thing is true for us. They ministered to the Lord, they fasted, they prayed, they waited on God's timing, they sought the Lord, and they waited for the Spirit to show them what to do. And so, if you sense, again, God prompting you to do something, you've prayed about it, it lines up with the Word of God, then it's more than likely the Lord speaking to you. Because I know that when the Holy Spirit is dealing with me, He will be continually dealing with me. He will be saying, He's prompting me, and He's saying, He doesn't just say, oh, I tried once, He didn't listen. He gives us a lot of opportunity, hello, to realize that, okay, there is a season for that, amen? That the season can pass you by, but God is patient. And if He's moving on us and speaking to us about something, He'll keep it up. And that's when you need to start to say, you know, I really feel the Lord is telling me to do this. He's pointing me in this direction. And step out and watch what God will do. What God will do. Amen? Hallelujah. We can't step out for us, but we've got to step out for Him. The next step, pray about His timing. Pray about His timing. You feel God is calling you to do a certain thing? It's about timing. And don't become weary in the process of waiting for your breakthrough. Imitate those who through faith and patience, through what? Faith and patience, inherit the promises. I'm going to finish with this, Psalms 40 and verse 1. The word of the Lord, through David, I waited patiently for the Lord. And He inclined to me and heard my cry. sometimes I get people that contact me, and they're just at a place where they're so impatient about their situation. And I have to tell them, I can pray, but I can't make God move any faster than what He's already going to do. Amen. Then He's got a time for that. And it may very much be in the will of God, but it's going to be in the season of God. And I've had people that have just gotten mad at God, frustrated with God, because, God, how come you're not doing anything? And then a little while later, they say, guess what? Have you been there? You got a little premature, maybe got a little short because God wasn't moving as quickly as you thought He should. Okay, it's getting quiet in here. We have to be in time with God because that's where life is. Life is where Jesus is at. Life is in the Spirit. Life is in the will of God for you. You want to live? Live in the will. Live in time with God. Live in step with God. Be ready. Be alert. Amen? Prayerful. Asking God, Lord, use me today. Open doors for me today. Lord, show me what you want me to do today. And be willing to do whatever He tells you to do. If He says, go take the trash out, go take the trash out. Are you hearing me? If He says, go shine shoes or clean the toilets at church, be willing to do it. You know, we had a great memorial yesterday, and I'm not going to hold you any longer. But real quickly, it was Graydon Holden's memorial. One of the things, because I was thinking about, well, what were his gifts and what was Graydon, good at, or what did he do for the Lord, or what was his way? What was his love language, really? How did he express himself? Well, Graydon expressed himself by serving others. Always willing to help somebody else. You go out of his way to help you. You need your car fixed, or taking care of his family was a ministry. Did you know that? Taking care of your family is a ministry, guys, right? Right? Ladies, too, in that sense, where we work together as a team. Okay. But that's one of the things that I noticed about him is that he expressed himself in different ways. And so sometimes we're expecting people to express their love the way we would. But we have to be in a place where we're like, that's how God designed them. They're a little different. And it's okay to be different. But David said, I waited patiently for the Lord. Somebody's trying to shut their alarm off. That must mean I got to close it up here, right? And heard my cry. What did he do? He said, he brought me up out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. He has put a new song in my mouth. Praise to our God. Many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. What is he saying? I waited patiently for the Lord, and he pulled me out of that horrible pit. Amen. He put a new song in my heart, in my mouth. Amen. A song of praise to God. Hallelujah. And others are going to see the testimony. Amen. That God, let me tell you what the Lord has done for me. Hallelujah. Amen. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, I hear what you're saying. I want to be that obedient servant. I want to be that son and that daughter that is responsive to the voice of my Lord. And even having a heart of willingness. But I struggle with that, especially the heart of willingness. Well, guys, it's because in our own strength or ability, we're limited. But what we need is the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us. We're commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so, I don't know about you, but I need to come back and drink all the time. I need to come to the Lord all the time and ask the Lord for grace. Ask the Lord for strength. Ask the Lord for help. Ask the Lord for His power. I need fresh baptism with the Holy Spirit and power. Amen. His fire. How many said I could use a little more fire in my life? Amen. Maybe there was a time when I was really on fire for God, but I'm not there anymore. But I really want to get back to that place. Guys, you can begin today by making a decision, being deliberate about it, that I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to return to the Lord. I'm going to return to my first love. And I'm going to submit myself, amen, for prayer, for others to come. Because sometimes, guys, we need to put the paddles on. The resuscitators, you know. And we just need to pray for one another that God will strengthen us. I need it. You need it. Amen? God doesn't want us to be lifeless. He doesn't want us to be just existing or living on IV spiritual drip. Amen? God wants us to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit so that His desire becomes your desire. Your world is, you know, enthroned in His love, just filled with Jesus. You want to be filled with Jesus, amen? You want to be overflowing cup, amen? You don't want to just be a get by and survive Christian. I don't know about you, but I want to thrive. I want to bear fruit. I want to glorify the Father. I don't want to be stagnant. I don't want to be stale. I don't want to be listless and lifeless. I want to be full of the power of God. And I want the zeal of the Lord, amen, to be reignited within me. The fire of God reignited within me. Are you there today? Is that what you want? Are you willing to take the time to do that?